Welcome to DeFi Expectations. Make sure to like this video and subscribe to our channel. Today we have on CryptoCrooks, NFT artist behind shitty investments. Yes, you heard that right. How are you doing today, CryptoCrooks?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me around. I appreciate it.
Of course, we're happy to have you on. Tell us more about yourself and how you became interested in NFT art.
Yeah, cool. So, man, I've been around since like 2017 or so. And I was honestly like trying to build sort of a reputation around that time, even like before NFTs. I started doing like one panel comics, and it started like really, really revving up around like from 2018 till 2019. And, you know, I did these like yearly murals that took almost 8 to 9 months each. And it was, you know, unbelievable amount of hours. And towards like the second year, I was just kind of getting a little bit down, I guess, to be honest. So I kind of just like, in the meantime, you know, I was studying heavily like NFTs, like trying to figure out how to do things a little bit differently. And the whole time, right after I stopped doing those murals, I wrote probably an 80 page business plan that I still have. And I studied just like in and out everything that's going on with them. And I focused specifically on like one thing in particular that is really interesting to me on these new assets, and it's the metadata. So since like 2019, I had this like big dream pretty much, and I've been like scheming to figure out how to do it ever since. And it's not just, you know, particularly like art per se, like it's making this asset a new asset class. And that's by utilizing the metadata, which people, I just don't think are doing that yet. And I'm just ultra excited to be able to try to push the boundaries there. But, you know, so going back to what I was trying to, you know, this dream, it was called Las Vegas. And I love that you have this mural up, because that was the sort of the intention of it. Like if you see in the background, it says Las Vegas, and it was intended to be an animated series. Well, you know, I'm just a guy with like a big dream, I guess. And I didn't really know how to push this thing off the ground. So I was kind of just like looking around, sort of, you know, I got this 80 page business plan. Nobody really wants to listen to me. I'm talking to developers. I'm teaching myself code. Like I'm doing whatever I could possibly think would help to get this off the ground. And it wasn't working. So, you know, I was a little down, started doing like some collaborations with some really cool projects, and I'm shocked at where that's connected me with. Like I ended up doing stuff for Block Party, and Pleaser DAO is the one that we're about to release some stuff with together, and that just kind of like put me in a different path. I finished all the work with Pleaser DAO, and then I was seeing all this generative stuff come up, and like satire is just my like nature, I think. I'm always preferring to just like make fun of stuff. So I just see all these generative projects out, and obviously when you look at things with like a satirical eye, you try to find things that are sort of like evil, I guess, because you know humor is based out of like hardships and struggles. And what I noticed is like there are cash grabs out there. Like there are people that are just doing these generative projects that, you know, some of them are straight up cash grabs. Now that's not to say that there's not great innovation, but I'm looking to always tell a story. So that's where I got to. I was like, man, why don't I just do a bunch of pieces of shit? So like, you know, this shitty investment sort of started coming into play and learning a little bit more. And then I was just like realizing that there's so many people that are like misinformed on NFTs and they're like virtue signaling, and it's just a little weird to me. So what I'm ultimately like I'm not gonna go to my deathbed without accomplishing this is I want people to sort of be like irritated that people are collecting pieces of shit, like, and they care about it. So right. You know, the meme ideally would like market itself in the long run, but the utility, I realized like, oh shit, like this might be the way to accomplish that Las Vegas goal. And I'm like, oh my God, the answer is right here. It's all right here. So, you know, as I've kind of chipped away at it, I'm realizing like I have people in the Discord right now and we're building literally what I'm trying to do. And it's going to be out probably in like a month or two. I'm trying to release the roadmap, hopefully next week, by the end of next week, and sort of explain what it is. But, you know, my problem is I simply just, people don't know who I am. Like, they don't know what it is, unfortunately. And I'm trying to like attack this, you know, people kind of look in tunnel vision, which it's hard to blame them with how lucrative PFP projects are right now. But it's like, people look at this from face value and like, yeah, pieces of shit, kind of funny, cool, but I don't know if I want that. And I mean, I don't know if I can really blame them. It is what it is. But the thing is when I'm going to use these assets to give people the next step, like essentially what these things are, is they are entry tickets to write in a like game show environment for short skits. So it's improv, and I'm going to award the people that give the greatest ideas for the short skits a fractionalized piece of these skits. And I'm gonna do like hardcore 3D and with 2D animation included. And they're just going to be short skits that like joke about a lot of stuff. So it really is going to be the community's animated project. And it's pushing away from the centralization of like creative process, because it's a big problem, I believe, in the way the world is right now. You know, you have these guys that write for shows, they just jump around and they kind of participate within their close community. But tapping into the internet's creativity and rewarding them for their creativity, that is, it's going to be a big deal. I entirely believe it. So what I'm trying to do is essentially like crowdsource metadata. And what NFTs allow you to do is just that. Like, I think the second stage of NFTs is when developers start creating projects where the community is manipulating the metadata. Mm. So that's sort of like the high level of what this actual project is. And it's supposed to be stupid on, you know, when you look at it. And I know, I think the art is pretty good for, you know, the little pieces of shit and everything, but it's way deeper than that. And my problem right now is going to be showing people that. And that's why I was like, I was doing all this marketing, I'm doing all this, this and that. But I was just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to show them how it works. So I'm actually like heavily close to having the minimum viable product like off the ground. And the first few people are going to be, you know, the ones that are going to get these scripts. They're going to own these sort of new created community created scripts or, you know, animated series. And it's really exciting for me. It's just, I'm kind of just busting my ass trying to figure out like how to get to the next stage. And the development is well underway. So everything's good, man. I'm sorry to be long-winded.
That's very helpful. I had the feeling that something that on the surface might just appear to be just a joke, that there was a lot of deeper thought that went into this. So I appreciate you taking me kind of through that process. Looking at shitty investments on the front page, what does that look like the user journey? So what it seems like is initially you're paying 0.05 ETH for what I think is a random NFT piece of shit.
Yeah.
anyone, including some of these rare ones. Am I correct so far?
Yes, sir. Nailed it. So, and the cool thing is I'm just going to let you guys know this. The actual, if you get any of the rare pieces, you're guaranteed a slice of the pie for the fractional skit. So we're fractionalizing like each skit that's done in the creative game show. So these NFTs, they're essentially like a Pope token. Like you need them to access the writing room per se. The writing room is basically just like a free for all. Whose line is it anyways, is the closest I can compare it to, where I've got sort of like pre-generated writing prompts, and I'll ask only like three questions that will make up a bizarre skit, and then it's just going to go straight into production afterwards, and I'll probably be able to like pop them out, I would think, in 2 or 3 days or so, and I'm just gonna do them as much as I can, and just reward people for interacting with it. Like I'm essentially paying people for their creativity, and there is nothing like that out right now. So I don't know. I mean, I would love for this to have some sort of impact, like CryptoPunks or something like that, but you know, that's obviously wishful thinking, but those are the sort of dreams that I have. Like I want to make a big impact in this community. And I entirely believe like this should be it. I mean, this has been like years since 2017, really. And when I started like entirely immersing myself into NFTs, that was probably like 2018, 2019. And, but I was only studying stuff. I was never minting anything. I've still got all that stuff from my past, and I probably screwed up there because I sort of had some sort of brand recognition back then. But now, I think self-awareness is a very important thing. I'm not really much of anybody anymore, which is cool, whatever. I mean, the end goal was always to get this project off the ground. And I'm probably a month away of kind of showing people instead of trying to explain it. That's just been the hardest part, because it's like, who the hell care? Who knows what? Who gives a shit about decentralized 2D animated series? Like, what does that mean to anybody? You know, it doesn't mean anything. But this is actually like a disruptive writing process. Like it should be a new way for you know, video content creators to have a community outside of YouTube. Like, they don't need to rely on ad revenue anymore when you're creating like a financially motivated fan base, because their fan base are the ones that are telling you what they want to see. And then it just goes from your ability to deliver that product. And it's a kind of a new way to look at video content. And I think it could have sort of, obviously, you know, this is biased, and I dream about everything that this is, but I mean, it really could have some sort of like a renaissance to sort of what sort of content we see out there from video content creators. So it's very exciting to me, but that's kind of where I stand right now. Like, yeah, you have to own these a piece of shit to interact in like the satire series, and that kind of how that speaks for itself. And I think the rest is going to be just showing like the game, how it's going to work. And it would be on this site. There would probably be like another tab up to the top where we would announce skit creation, and probably do an announcement like in our Discord, like, hey, we're going to do it this, or, you know, through our social presence saying we're doing it this time, be there. You know, you connect your wallet, and if it shows that you've got one of these things, then jump on in and contribute. And if, you know, we choose your topic to fit one of the three criterias, then you're going to own a brand new NFT. So, and this is going to be like high production value. Like, I'm not only going to like do the stuff that I've learned over the years, but I'm fortunate enough to work with some people that I've like produced stuff for Disney movies, like How to Train Your Dragon, Madagascar, Star Wars, Shrek, even Toy Story. Like, these people, they helped me get into like Netflix. That's how serious this whole project is. I got a meeting with Netflix, with them as my side with production involved. So, you know, yeah, dude, it's been hell to get here. Like, it's hard to really describe how passionate I am about doing this. Like, I didn't even know how to draw before I started this, like, and I just kind of studied everything on YouTube. And at the same time, I was networking, knocking on everybody's door. And that's how I was lucky enough to get into Netflix. I was like, I'm gonna find out what this is about and how to do it. So, you know, I've never had like marketing on my side. Like, I'm doing like 15 different things, and it's so hard. I mean, you see some of these people that are just dropping stuff, and yeah, the art might be good, but they're just great at marketing everything. And that just kills me, you know, because it's like, if I could only explain in clear terms, like, what this is intended to be and what I'm going to turn it into, like, there's no option other than making this happen, then like, I think people would care a little bit more. But and that's not to say like there's not interest. Like, there is. Like, the first day we had like 20% minted, but now I have to fight through all the noise. And I think that's going to be showing people a new use case for NFTs, and that's what these things are. So,
and you're creating an experience too with the animated component of it too. I think it would be helpful to kind of see what that looks like on the website. Like, is it what I've heard some NFTs kind of do is they'll take the characters and allow you to combine them in some meaningful way. For example, we had Tasty Corn Chips was one of the NFT projects that we had been reviewing, and they actually had a point where the characters could die and become zombies. And then you could get an NFT that was the shotgun, an NFT that was the ammo to fill the shotgun and kill the zombies. Just kind of like the way they create the, it was like a trading card game, and that was how they would work the mechanic. How would you say the mechanic works here? Is it combining different pieces of shit? Did you say that there was like a story component where you ask questions of the person? How does that work? If you could go into a little more detail.
Yeah, great question. So, and I think you nailed it. I'm not really showing very well, and I'm running this big giveaway that is supposed to hype up the roadmap. And essentially, like, what it is you're going to connect your wallet, and it'll, you know, the smart contract will see whether or not you have a piece of shit in your wallet. And that'll be the ability to enter into the sort of like game show environment, or so have you. Basically, I've got, you know, right now about 10 or 15 different scripts that are concepts that are asked like three questions in order to set up what the script is. And only the people that are able to be in that room can like enter an answer to those three questions, right? I need to like show that, and that's partly what I'm doing. I'm like working in 3D to create the environments and the animation, etc. And at the same time, I'm developing it with a few friends of mine, and that's that is the use case of it. So, you know, when you're talking about like the Toasty chip combining, and they can show it so plain and simple on their site, I'm just going to have to like show the experience, because it really is just a game show. Like, I'm paying people in exchange for dopamine. Like, if you create the best, weirdest answer for that particular question, that'll make the skit, you know, even funnier or something that we think will work, then you're going to be the winner for owning that particular skit. So it's creating like a satirical community, and I want people to be able to relate to it. Like, we're talking about social faux pas, like annoying things people do in public. Like, for instance, why do people record fireworks on their phone? Like, you're never gonna look at that. Like, it's just it's idiotic, right? So I have a lot of influence of like Curb Your Enthusiasm, South Park definitely, and I was, you know, I'm pretty sure that I can deliver really, really good products on the production side.
Now, a quick word from our sponsor. Geode Finance is an ETH2 ecosystem, providing turnkey validator node solutions to the world of DeFi. By partnering with Geode, DeFi projects of all types can smoothly integrate ETH2 staking into their platform. Geode offers a means for protocols to increase profitability and enables individuals to stake their Ethereum in a more secure and decentralized manner. Stakers need only select their chosen representative and can begin staking immediately on the Geode platform. Geode launches soon, so follow us on Twitter at Geode_finance and visit our website at geode.fi. That's geode.fi. Links to these items, including our blog and Discord, are included in the YouTube description for this episode. Thank you all for listening. And if you are interested in ETH2 staking, please check out our sponsor. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, so to answer your question, plain and simple, you have to own a piece of shit. You get into the game show. It's basically like a little chat room, and I'll be moderating it, and I'll be asking, you know, a few questions in order. I'll let people put in their entries, and then we'll go in order to create the skit. Now, I haven't decided if we're going to do like maybe we have a really good showing one day. I might do like two or three skits, and we'll just kind of feel out the vibe of how people are doing. If like we're having fun, we're having a good time. Who knows? I might, you know, do a few skits, but I would imagine it would probably be, I would like to do them weekly. If I can get a production process like banging good and flowing well, then I don't know. I would be cool to do it one a day. I don't know. But it's about ironing out the kinks and making sure that I can put out like art too. You know, like I want this to look beautiful. I want these skits to be like something people also care about. So not only is like the message have to be worthwhile to share, that people laugh about, like these have to be high quality things. Like I'm never going to put out anything that I don't want to have to be associated with. So yeah, the joke is, you know, you got to own a piece of shit to participate, you know, like that should be fun. And we'll see.
How has the process been growing a community around this project?
Yeah, good question. Like, I actually, the people that are in the Discord, like, they're all very similar. They're all funny people. Like, they all just kind of relate to this stupid idea. It's just like fart jokes, you know, like that. I was laughing at those when I was 4 years old. I still laugh at them, you know. It's like, it's kind of surprising. I think just the idea of it has attracted the sort of people that fit. Now it's that's kind of exactly what I'm looking for too. That doesn't mean that I don't want to accept everyone, but you know, I think people that will excel better are the ones that are just sort of, I don't know if I want to call them assholes or what, but you know, like people that like to joke and are very sarcastic. That is who's showing up in the community. But it's been really hard, to be honest, because now I'm trying to figure out like how to market everything. If you lose that hype, it's hard to dig out of that hole, you know? Because I didn't mint out everything, but the reason why I put it at like 6,000 is because I want to make sure that there's enough entry tickets to the real product, which the real product was never really exposed until as of lately. And the hype's kind of died down at this point. So I'm wearing a lot of hats. It sucks. I wish I had some consistent help that I knew would be a good spend of money, because I would spend it, but I just don't trust some of the offers that I've gotten out there. Like one marketing firm was saying $10,000 upfront and we'll just do consulting. And I was like, well, do you have any like case studies or any analytics or anything to prove to me that this will be worthwhile? And like, nah, just it's $10,000. I'm like, okay, well, that's not very reassuring.
Yeah.
You know, I've dealt with another marketing firm. They're saying $25,000 for a post on Instagram. And I'm just like, you got to be shitting me, man. Like, that's not a good way to spend money. So I've been kind of making a few videos here and there, testing the waters with like paid advertising. But I think my, what I'm missing is, it's my biggest weakness is marketing, to be blatantly honest. Like, I'm creating like a content machine at the moment. And, I just don't have anyone to, that I at least trust to work hard, to put me in the right direction, because I'll pay, man. I've got the money to do it. But that's sort of building the community has definitely been hard. Like, I posted a video on TikTok and it got like 8,000 views and almost like 700 likes. People were cracking up. Like, the concept is funny. I know there's a spot for it. Like, I'm certain of it. But delivering that message, has not been my forte, to be blatantly honest, because, you know, I'm all about self-awareness. I think that's the most important thing in life, and that's the best way to like excel. I'm good at making jokes and production. Like, that is where I'm would be of lethal like value. But delivering this message and building hype, I've never been great at it. Since like 2018, I was doing those one panel comics. Some of them were getting up to like 2 to 3 million impressions on Twitter, but now I'm just kind of like a nobody. I'll like tweet and people just don't even care, which is fine. I'm okay with that. It's like,
it's funny to hear you say that too, because you're close to 10,000 followers and you just said that you felt like a nobody. It's kind of weird how the crypto space can be isolating to that degree. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, dude. Yeah, it's so true. It's like back in 2018 or 2019, like I would do some comics and get, like 300, 400 likes. And I was getting better engagement than BitLord. Like, it was out there. And now it's like the whole NFT wave just kind of like passed me by, because I wasn't minting anything. I just had all this like so much work from the years before, and I was just sort of jaded, man, to be honest. It kind of sucked. So that's sort of just left in the past, and I feel like if I minted it now, it wouldn't be worth like the time that I spent into it. I spent 2 years on those murals, like 9 months, no joke, on both of them. And I would just kind of be sad if I were to give that away, you know? So I think I'm sort of just kind of taking a detour and trying to find another way to show people, like, I mean, kind of business on this. And it's, this is it. I'm really pretty confident, but I got one glaring problem, and that's marketing. I'm just going to be straight up. So that's sort of where the project is. But once this thing gets off the ground, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, because it's going to be the community's animated series. It's not going to be my animated series. So
yeah, I think it's a really interesting project, and it sounds like you've got a lot of creative ways to grow it and take it further too, which I can only imagine, just with more time, being able to present that more for your community, what that looks like can only help. But it sounds like you got the right ways in mind to incentivize your community. Were there any other giveaways that you want to talk about? I had a couple questions regarding a turd burglar card game, but I don't know if that was something we talked about earlier. But if you want to share anything else on the roadmap or any other giveaways you have planned.
So on our site, there's just a fat giveaway. I'm basically, up until Halloween, there's a bounty on one of the like spooky cards. It's like Sir Scatrick. I'm actually giving away 2 Ethereum if somebody mints that before Halloween. So that's a shitload of money. Other than that, I've got like some task to, I put this really cool campaign in there. And it asks like a bunch of different little menial tasks that you can complete. And you know, the winner wins one Ethereum, as well as like, some cheap shit, which cheap shit is like an actual rare type of, shit in there. And there's only 7 in the entire mint. So it's like, it's just a play on words, but it's intended to be rare, like to be valuable. Like there's only 7 pieces of cheap shit in that entire mint. So I'm giving away those. And then like I'm giving away Ethereum for 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th place. And other pieces are like, you know, shit as well. And that's the big giveaway right now. The Turd Burglar idea was to incorporate it in a way that I'm not really sure I want to say it yet, but he steals stuff. So just that's kind of a hint on where we could go with it. So
gotcha.
Yeah. So it, owning that card, you might be able to just have random stuff, even like Ethereum show up in your wallet. So that's the idea.
Awesome. Sounds like an awesome value and benefit to have. Kind of a different question to change gears a little bit since we've been talking so much about shit. So we met in Safe Space, a Discord room started by DeFi Ted as a crypto mental health initiative. How did you become acquainted with this group? And also, what do you tell me a little bit about what your thoughts are on the value and importance of mental health, especially in DeFi?
Yeah, man. So that's funny you say that. I'm actually doing all of, we created a bunch of stuff, me and Ted did together with PleaserDAO, and we're actually going to use those. And I'm just going to, I don't know if I'm at liberty to really explain what he wants to do because I don't even really know myself.
I'm brand new to it as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I'm helping him use some hopefully really cool stuff that people have actually had really good response on Twitter from what kind of teased with it. But yeah, I think it's big, man, because there's some you know, people I think there's a lot of a gambling nature that is just sort of inbred in some people that are you know, trading with leverage and all this and that, like sort of making money, which is for some people so easy in this community, it's sort of intoxicating. And that can be dangerous, you know. I think things can go wrong in so many different ways. And like building communities, now that I've done this, I've launched a shit project, it's like the responsibility and just dealing with different expectations, like it can be tolling mentally. Like you know, I'm launching this project and you have people that come in and they're like, they can get pissed off, you know, because it didn't appreciate in the time that they would have liked. And it's just it's difficult, you know. Like this is a whole different way for business to work within blockchain and DeFi. And I think like the intoxication from making money as like an individual trader, et cetera, and it can be gone so quickly, like that's dangerous for people's mental health. And then like responsibility, it's heavy. Like doing these projects, you're associated, you are pegged to a dollar amount, unfortunate as it is. And that can, if people are not like mentally prepared for that, it can be probably dangerous, I think, as well. So I think it's an awesome community. And I'm sure people fight with things that I'm not even aware of. You know, everybody's kind of different and men kind of hold things in. So I think it's a great community and great concept, and dude, Ted is one of the best people that I've met out here. So I just got high praise for him, and would do anything to help that guy succeed with that. So And I think everybody would probably feel the same way that's in that little small community as it is right now. So it's a great concept and a needed community, I think, for a lot of people. So well done to him.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you about Ted. He's been a great help. It's been a pleasure to know him. And I can't agree more either with what you're saying about just mental health and DeFi. And there's a number of things about it that I think make it particularly challenging for me. and I would assume probably Robin as well. We're both kind of new to the space. I mean, we're experienced marketing people, but we've come into crypto and DeFi in the last year. So I'd say imposter syndrome is probably something that we deal with and other people deal with who do any kind of work in the space, just because there's such brilliant people here that are so talented and are so capable that it just can be really overwhelming to even be like, do I fit in? Am I going to be good enough? Can I even keep up? But that's one side of it. And then there's the other, you talk about addiction, the addiction of watching a price ticker. which exists whether it's going up or down. It's an addiction that takes time out of your day. And I can only imagine. I'm not a big trader. I know I'm not a good trader, so I choose to not trade as much as possible and just hold the things that I believe in, like ETH. But it can really mess with you, even if you have a plan, even if you are going to hold to a certain point. When prices drop, when things get scary and crypto Twitter all of a sudden doesn't believe in any of your tokens anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It can sink your mental state pretty quickly, regardless of what else is going on in your day. So it can become a really positive or a really toxic space really quickly, depending on how you handle it, I think.
Yeah, that was actually a great kind of angle. Just the market sentiment can really change your day. I hadn't even thought about that. I was like, one day you'll be on top of the world, and then the next day you're like, shit, dude. But just to kind of give some input on what you said first is like imposter syndrome. Honestly, I think there's just so everybody, like, what's the beauty of this whole movement is like decentralization is, you know, there is no body saying, like, there is no centralized figure that says like you are this or you are that. Like, I've watched people pass me up and put me in the rear view mirror by like, you know, attention. I watched it happen like right in front of me, and it's okay. And what that says is like, it doesn't matter when people start. It's like, if you are good at something, there's a place for you, you know? And, if content creation is what you want to be in this space, like by doing podcasts and stuff like that, or however you see fit, I just think you should worry about it. Like, just kind of be confident and get after it. Cause you could pass up only, you could pass those guys like that. Maybe that will be the next story. So it's like, it's great. I think the chaos of what decentralization is what's so beautiful of it. You know, like, nobody should really suffer from imposter syndrome, because nobody really belongs anywhere. That's what's so cool about it. So
that's a good point.
You know, it's just like figure out what you think you can be good at and work at it. Like, I don't know how to say this. Like, I wasn't like pinpoint accurate at where I put my attention to. Like, I got, 2 years into these comics and then just kind of got down on myself and sort of like jaded that I was spending 2 years and didn't make a dollar from it, that I kind of changed path. I was like, I want to build something with NFTs. So that's my problem, you know, like if you just kind of really figure out like where it is you want to be in this field, I think you'll have success, you know, because I'm watching a lot of my friends make stupid money doing other things, and that's what they wanted to do, you know. So yeah, there's a place for anyone in this crazy decentralized world.
So when you were talking about metadata earlier, can you kind of describe exactly what you mean by that? Because like my understanding of that kind of stuff usually just relates to maybe like websites and stuff, like I guess with meta descriptions and things like that. So like, what are you saying exactly when you say metadata?
Yeah, so basically like there is metadata attached to every NFT. And a good example of that is if you go on to OpenSea, like the way that the names are generated for the assets. Like if you look at shitty investments per se, for instance, we did like every different trait has a particular like name, and sort of did like a equation that creates the name for every piece of shit. So that NFT has that metadata associated with it. Now, where I think things will get like spicy in the content world is when the community starts manipulating the metadata for the project. And then it becomes like the community's intellectual property that they're contributing to the project. It's no longer a asset from the production or from the development. It's, you know, using the community that supports you. It's using their brain, their intellectual property to manipulate the asset that the development is offering. So there's never been really anything like that. Like this is a new, completely new asset class that I genuinely think that is going to be what blows up NFTs for the next stage. Like I could apply, I could see how I could apply to 10 different industries. Kind of got a long-term goal with what that information, you know, this concept is that I'm explaining right now. But I mean, mark my words, once the community starts manipulating the metadata for the NFTs that the development are offering, I mean, it's going to be like so disruptive. I don't think it's going to be able to stop spreading. So that's what I mean by the metadata. So go look at the names for the pieces of shit and notice how there's all different, you know, names per se. And that's the metadata that's associated with that NFT.
Are you familiar with Mooncat Rescue?
Yes, I got a few Mooncats.
So have you named any of them?
I have not, but that sounds like what would be in layman's terms, that is what I'm mentioning for sure.
Okay. Cause yeah, I know like when I got mine, I named it Thin Mint.
Oh yeah.
And I know you can only do that one time. So like,
yeah,
that's like kind of a metadata type thing is where you're getting to essentially manipulate.
Yeah, that. You're manipulating the asset. Okay. So where I had trouble thinking about how this would all come together with like, how do I give a production to many different people? I'm like, how the hell would I do that? And then the concept of like fractionalization started to get popular, which that was like the perfect answer. I'm like, oh my God, that's how it's done. So with, you know, the asset that we're creating, it's going to be broken into different pieces that, you know, the whole production squad owns, I guess. So the production squad is, you know, part of the community. This is sort of a deeper, you know, version of manipulating metadata, I guess. But that's going to get so complex, that particular relationship right there, that, I mean, it's really up to the developer's creativity to apply that sort of approach, I think, to make things way, way different. Because I think that is where it's headed. Like, I bet money on it.
You know, like with the rise of Binance, there was like a bunch of shit coins and a bunch of like meme coins and stuff like that, and just like garbage projects that kind of popped up. And I know you're saying like you're making fun of a lot of, you know, the NFT space and probably kind of the shit coin craze as well. So with the way that you've set the website up to look, how do you get people to trust that it's a legitimate project right off the bat?
Shoot. I mean, I think it's just, I'm just going to have to show hard work. Like, I've never quit. And the only reason why I've sold any was just because of my reputation. Like, I got onto DeFi's space, and he's like watched me since 2017, and that was the only way that I got on. He was like, yeah, dude, I'm happy to do it for you. I've seen you've been like hustling since then. So I don't know, man. I think it's just gonna be I'm not stopping until I prove it. So that's that's probably gonna be the only way that I can prove that it's a legitimate project, because once this starts doing things that people haven't seen yet, I think that's when they'll be like, oh wait, I see it, you know. But
I would say once you like get into the deeper part of it, it starts. I don't know if you've traded any of like the Binance shit coins, but there's an exchange called PooCoin.
I've
first time I heard about that, I'm just like, is this like safe to connect my wallet?
Like, am I just gonna be homeless after this or what?
Yeah.
that shit's kind of scary, dude. There's just a lot of scams out there, and I'm always looking at the URL and ultra worried about like phishing, you know. There's just so many ways to, you know, you'll make a Google search and it's one character off and just drains your wallet and all that wild stuff.
And they're letting people advertise those links too. That's what's really scary about it, is if you Google, like, it was probably back DeFi summer last year, but I remember sometime around then I was looking up Yearn Finance, and I'm pretty sure I saw like a fake Yearn link, like that just one part of the URL was different. And yet they're advertising that through Google. I remember a time when I was working with stem cells, regenerative medicine. And you had to be so careful about the way you would describe your services in the ad, because otherwise Google would just not let you get by with the ad, because there's a lot of corruption, a lot of different things going on in that market. But I always thought it was funny that I couldn't get my legitimate ads through, like when I was first transitioning to crypto and away from regenerative medicine, I couldn't get over how these obviously sketchy looking to just wipe out a person's wallet like links can appear in Google, but I couldn't run an ad for stem cells.
It's funny. Crazy, isn't it? Like, it's unreal. Like, even the same thing, I'm encountering that a little bit here and there. It's like, I can't even give away cryptocurrency for a Twitter ad, where you can just see these scams. Like, I'm fortunate to have never been scammed, knock on wood, partly because I'm just like stupidly cautious. But it just sucks, you know, because even some friends of friends I've heard just like lose it all over something so small. And it's like, that stuff is, it's you're right. Like, how can that be possibly advertised when I can't even give away cryptocurrency on a Twitter ad? It's crazy. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've probably noticed the same thing on OpenSea as well. Like, anytime, even like simple projects that aren't even like super hyped up yet, somebody will go on there and just hope that like someone will start giving them a couple like fractions of ETH before it's figured out, and then they just dip out.
Yeah, that's crazy, huh? I don't know. It's a wild world. I think things move so fast, and capturing a little bit of the hype is you got to take advantage of that when you can, if because something will be right there to replace you the next day if you don't. So it's all so true. Yeah. But I mean, shoot, if you establish yourself as like a talking head, figurehead, like you, I think people can like retire very quickly in this industry.
Probably.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
A couple more questions. Really just if you could share with us any NFT or DeFi projects that you're all that you're involved in or interested in other than shit investments.
Man, to be quite honest, like I just am sort of a psychopath, so I just like focus on what like one thing, and it really has been just my project. Like I don't even think about anything else. I mean, I kind of just move towards the holding mentality. I'm all in on F. Big on it. I think it's gonna work things out, and obviously Solana, I'm just kind of hedging bets there. I like actually Premia Finance, I think are doing a lot of really cool stuff, and I respect those developers heavily. And then other than that, man, I'm just so entrenched in trying to do something different with non-fungible tokens, because I think it really is how media was always intended to be. And I want to be a part of that, like for sure. So, yeah, man, I wish I could give a better answer than that, but I'm just like bulletproof determined to only focus on making this thing reality, which it's, getting there.
Awesome. Well, no, that makes sense. You got to be laser focused to make something happen. But
yeah, it's no cash grab, man. I feel bad for these guys that jump into a project and they just, you know, fall for the hype, and then these guys just walk away without any other intention. Like, that's not me.
Yeah, I liked what it almost seems like humans are proof of work. Systems, you know, when we look at projects, we're like, how much work has been put into this? Is it legitimate? Is it just trying to scam me? And then I guess you have the other people who just they've aped into something already and they haven't even read the white paper yet. So you have your different classes of people, but you have a space where so much is possible, but you know, there's also the sketchy stuff too you got to watch out for.
Oh, for sure, man. And you know what's funny is like those people that are just aping into stuff that don't even look at the white paper, those are probably like the richest people here too.
Yeah, I like that meme where it's like you're middle braining it, so to speak. You know what I'm talking about? All those different memes where it's like the people who make the most money are the middle brainer people. Yeah. If they're too smart, they don't take the risk. If they're too dumb, they take too many risks. I just think that's so perfect.
It's so true, man. It's so true. Like, you'll talk yourself out of things if you're, you know, too analytical. So people were telling me to mint stuff back in 2017. Like, I should have, but I didn't. So whatever.
Just a little while ago, I was planning on minting some of the CryptoPunk comics when those came out. I don't know if the Punks comics, do you remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so they dropped those, like, right when just, like, the huge shitstorm happened. What was it, back in, like, June, I think, where Elon Musk fucked a bunch of stuff up, and then China fucked a bunch of stuff up, and then Shiba Inu fucked a bunch of stuff up, all within, like, a day. Yeah, it was a
shit show, right?
Yeah. And then, like, they dropped those things, and I think they even dropped the mint price to, like, I think it was, like, 0.2 or 0.0. I think it was, like, 0.2 ETH for each one. And I was going to go in and I'm just like, I don't know. I've gotten pretty low, you know, recently. And, you know, even right now, like, the floor is over 4 ETH for those.
Shit, dude.
I know. I'm just like, God damn it. That would have been really nice.
I know. That would have been a nice little return.
I remember hearing, like, you know, Twitter is definitely the place to be when it comes to that kind of stuff. Because I keep telling everyone, I'm like, if you're not on Twitter and you're just hanging around, like, you know, Gemini, or you're hanging around Coinbase
on Reddit, like, yeah, or some shit like that.
Yeah, even Reddit is a place to learn information, but like a lot of people are just like, oh, I'm gonna buy some Shiba Inu or some Dogecoin on Coinbase. You know, I'm like, if you
want a bunch of LARPs, Twitter. If you want to make some money,
yeah, it's like if you want to make some money and you want to like start to learn some shit about this space, Twitter is the place to be.
Oh, without a doubt. I was doing like YouTube videos before even knowing that Twitter was the place to go in 2017.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how Fry got involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then YouTube. Like this one girl reached out to me from one of my like Reddit posts. She's like, hey, I don't know. She asked if I could do stuff for her channel, and she doesn't do stuff anymore. Her name is Crypto Candor. Real cool girl. But she was like, hey, do you have a Twitter account? I'm like, no, why would I have a Twitter account? And then she's like, are you kidding?
That's then, like the same thing I said to Fry when he's like, I made you a Twitter account. I'm like, oh, Twitter?
Yeah. Who the fuck cares? It's like, that's the thing is like, people don't really use Twitter that much. Like in the real world, like it was confusing to me, but then I got into it. It's just like, oh my God, why was I not here? Especially for this little community, dude. Like crypto is, you have to be on Twitter, man. Even if Jack's gonna fucking ban me the day that we minted.
Did he try to do it?
Oh, dude, I started that shitty investments Twitter account. I'm like, I was being pretty aggressive, and I was literally, when our mint went live, I was on DeFi space, and there was like 400 people listening to it, and I couldn't log into the Twitter because I was banned from it. So it's just kind of funny. I think that is just,
how long did it take you to get it back?
It was only like a 24-hour ban or something, but the thing is it was just funny to me, you know. It's like, that's sort of adds to the story of what this is, you know.
Yeah, we need a decentralized social media platform for sure.
Yes.
Oh yeah, no doubt, man.
Well, I think that's the end of my questions. Robin, did you have anything else?
That's about it for me.
Great.
Yeah, well, man. Y'all are good dudes. It was nice talking. Let's keep in touch, and I'll like a bunch of your tweets here and there now that we're talking about Twitter.
Yeah, thanks again for coming on. It's great chatting with you and learning about the project.
Yeah, guys, I appreciate it. And keep up with it. This is it's really cool, and I'm sure you'll meet just crazy influential people doing this. So wishing all the best, and I think y'all will do well.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Awesome, brothers. Y'all have a good one, right?
You too.
Take care.
You too.